Hey, I got a green light there, brother. Hopefully it'll be okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 16 and read through verse 18. And I might make a couple references other places, but I wanted to give you this thought tonight about a prayer for every season. A prayer for every season. The Apostle Paul gave this church at Thessalonica some encouraging words. Boy, how we need some encouraging words tonight in this hour that we live in. When it's exactly like we're seeing before our eyes the scripture that Paul gave to young preacher Timothy, it's unfolding right before our eyes, perilous times are here. Yes, sir. One old-timey preacher said years ago, what perilous times is too much prosperity. And I tell you, as a nation, we're about spoiled.
Yes, sir.
With material things and goods. And your brother pastor was telling us how in Honduras they're happy just because they got the Lord Jesus Christ, and that appears to be all they need. I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen to that. We could do with a lot less stuff and a lot more of God. Amen.
That's right, brother.
Amen. And how we need Him tonight, but this is an unusual church. Now, Paul said they were a great church. God knew what he was doing. He had a strategic purpose in planting this church at Thessalonica. For he said where they had received the word of God with power and much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. And they were a strong, faithful church. But there's only one problem with that, though. This is why the Lord planted them there. It's because in that day, Thessalonica was the sin city of that age. If you remember how Paul said with tears in his eyes and a broken heart, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica."
Right.
Now, at the end of the book of Colossians, we'll read where Demas was serving God. He was there with Paul. He was there with Luke, the beloved physician. And he was part of the work of God one time. But something else caught his eye. If you're serving God under any kind of pressure tonight, this message is for you, beloved. This message is for you. Have you ever been in that place that seemed like it was just so, like, as my old pastor said, to be digging a ditch uphill and backwards? That's pretty tough. I don't know how they did it, but we'll read the scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. The Bible says, "But God," amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen. There's a prayer for every season. You know, that with the Lord's help, the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I believe that's a promise they must have hung on to. There from Luke 1:37. But first of all, we see that Paul gave them an encouraging word in chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Rejoice evermore." Now, I found if I'll rejoice evermore, the first thing that happens, if I'm feeling bad, I'll start feeling better. And it changes the whole outlook on people around you and everything. And you know, sometimes we have in our hearts, if we're born again, we have the key to evangelism, and most of the time don't even utilize it. People would get saved, the Bible declares, if we would just praise the Lord. In Psalm 40, the Bible said people shall hear our praises, and they'll get afraid. The Bible says some of them will fear, and they will believe.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If we just let loose a good hallelujah or glory to God once in a while, or a praise the Lord, business would start to change. It'd start to pick up a little bit.
That's right.
And we see people converted. If we'll just be faithful and give God the praise we is due to His name. But Paul said, "Rejoice evermore." How could they do that in a hell hole? How could they do, as Dr. Wade Huntley used to say, with hell popping all around them and all these temptations and snares of the devil and all the tricks and lies that he has, oh, it looks good on the surface, but the Bible still declares the wages of sin is death. Somebody asked one of my co-workers, she said, "Patrick, you're a preacher, I want to ask you about this." She said, "Some of my relatives come to me And they wanted me to pray. They went and bought lottery tickets and scratch-offs, and I spent all this money on this gambling stuff. I said, they wanted me to pray that they'd win the state lottery. She said, what do you think about that? I said, that's foolishness.
Amen.
They'd be far ahead if they believe in the Lord enough to ask you to pray. If they'd put their tithes and offerings in the house of God, God would bless them.
Amen.
And they'd come out far ahead. When I embarked on this ministry, I remember my wife was standing up there in the yard, and the Lord made me a promise. And he said, you're not going to lose nothing. Well, right down in here it says in verse 24 of chapter 5, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen.
And I can say right along with Paul, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Amen.
If we're He's faithful even if we're not faithful. But if we'll be faithful, he'll bless us some more on top of that. He'll bless our faithfulness. And the Bible says, the faithful one shall abound with blessings.
Amen.
We can't collect them all.
That's right, brother.
My bucket's not big enough, praise the Lord. No wonder King David said, my cup runneth over.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he didn't give us a drip or a drop or a sip or a sippy cup or a teaspoonful. He said, Psalm 36, verse 8, he says, that you will eat of the fatness of my house and shall drink from the river of my pleasures.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm glad he runs my cup over.
Amen.
If I'll just be faithful.
That's good,
the Lord give Paul an encouraging word for this church. He said, rejoice evermore.
Yes,
see what God's going to do if we rejoice evermore. I don't know about you, but all them folks, I see them old-timey Baptists everywhere. They're still drinking that lemon juice and that dill pickle juice first thing in the morning. They're sour. And I hear people griping and complaining and whining, and God's been so good to us.
Amen.
Brother Candler asked me, he said, you have a good Thanksgiving, better than I deserve.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Better than I deserve. Hallelujah. My children aren't in jail. They're not wasn't in the hospital. Didn't have nobody down at the funeral home. Praise God.
Amen.
And had more than I needed to eat.
Amen.
Twice.
Amen.
God poured out the abundance.
Amen.
But if we'll just rejoice and praise the Lord, he'd give us the whole river of his pleasure to drink from. Paul found out a secret. There's joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad. That brings us to our next thought. God give Paul an encouraging word for the church at Thessalonica. They were serving God under some pressure. They were serving God in a hard place. A second thing, he called them to an encouraging work. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. If we'll keep that constant attitude of prayer, the Lord will give us a victory. In the Bible, the number 17 happens to be the number of victory. Without praying, without ceasing, we're not going to find a victory. But if you'll pray without ceasing, don't give up. Don't give up. God's going to give us a victory. And God, through the Apostle Paul, was calling this church to an encouraging work. I had one of my dearest friends, probably of 31 years, sent me a message the other day. He said, I'm sorry to bother you, but I need you to pray not only for my nephew, who's a addict, but I need you to pray for his brother. And he was a pastor of some kind of halfway rehab up north. And she said, now Gene's back on rehab. Had to go back to rehab and fell back in that mess. I said, don't be sorry to ask me to pray. It's an honor to pray for people.
Yes,
it's a blessing to pray for. They say, will you please pray for me? That's a blessing to pray for somebody. God's called us to an encouraging work. If we pray, guess what? The Lord promised. He said, "I will. You call on me, I'll answer."
Amen.
I got people that swore up and down and said, Brother Patrick, if you ever need anything, give me a call. They won't answer the phone. They won't return my calls. I couldn't find them with a magnifying glass or a microscope if to save my life.
Yeah, amen.
But the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. And show you great and mighty things that you do not know.
Amen.
And he's our constant guide. He's our constant teacher. Every single moment.
Praise the Lord.
If we'll trust him.
Amen.
But God called this great church to an encouraging work. The Lord's calling us tonight to an encouraging work. I think one of the funniest stories I've ever heard, old Dr. John Reimer, he pastored down at Etowah Baptist Church for 30 years. And he's telling us when he was a child, he was on a bus trip to the church on a big old one of them old big school buses. And somebody called on the driver to pray, and he said it scared the life out of him. His eyes got about this big around as a little child, because he said he was taught the only way you could pray was to bow your head and close your eyes and fold your hands. He said, I wanted to know how that driver was going to do that and drive. Because it's going about 45, about fast as one of them school buses. They got governors on them. They'll only do about 45 anyway. And my Lord, he said, it scared the life out of him. But we can pray without ceasing, no matter where we're at. If we're digging that ditch uphill backwards. I serve some of the most entitled people I've ever seen in my life are some of that complaining crowd. Nothing's ever, the grocery store job, nothing's ever good enough. You can't suit them. You can't, there's nothing you can do to please them.
Right.
But I've got my praying shoes on, and I'm praying. I pray for them sometimes, and they'd probably make them mad if they knew I was praying for them. They cussed me out one time. I say, God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. Don't return that curse. The Lord says, bless them that curse you, them that spitefully use you. Pray for your enemies.
Amen.
If you got any, pray for them. But the Lord's called us to an encouraging work. I love it when God answers prayer.
Amen.
And I've been tickled to death for 30 years. When I got saved, that week I got involved in care center ministry. Our Sunday school class went to a rest home. Went to Henderson's rest home over there on the north side of Hendersonville. It tickles me to death. I got started as I told people God's calling me to be a full-time missionary to the rest home. And they tell me stuff like, well, now, you can't do it this way. You got to do it this way. You know, God's made things work that they said wouldn't work 30 years ago, and it's worked the whole 30 years.
Amen.
I said, you're not supposed to present to churches and ask a church to be your ministry partner. It's worked for 31 years. It's God's never failed. The Lord's never disappointed me. He's never let me down.
Amen.
God's people've never let me down.
Amen.
The majority of the ministry partners have been more than faithful. They've been abundantly generous to us.
Amen.
And the Lord make things work. I said, well, that's not supposed to work that way. Well, take that up. That's the Lord's problem. Take it up with Him. I just obeyed. I did what I learned from other missionaries. I learned from other men of God, and I just did what I felt led to do. And it's like the care teams that God called all those churches and individuals and families, and there's all kinds of people going into the nursing home.
Amen.
God's faithful. Amen. If we'll pray without ceasing, God's called us to an encouraging work.
Yes, sir.
Thrills my soul when some people get saved. Even when people get help from God, they thank us. I get the same question I've got all the years I've been going to care centers and preaching. Are you coming back?
Yeah.
Or when are you coming back? And they can't wait to worship the Lord. They can't wait to hear, again, to hear God's Word.
Amen.
There used to be a big old black lady at a care center down there in Laurel Park at the Bryan Center. She about preached me to death. I'd read the scripture and start out preaching. All of a sudden, I'd hear a big old booming voice in the back. Yes! Preach! I went home, about killed my mom. I said, I think God wants me to pastor a black church. Them people preach you to death. And I'll tell you what, but she thanked me one day. She said, I sure appreciate you coming, preaching the Word of God and trying to explain the Bible to us. Amen. I'm glad God's called us to an encouraging work. Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
There's a prayer for every season.
Yes, sir.
If times are good, if times are bad, there's a prayer for every season. We pray for others. There's joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this ministry.
Amen.
There's an encouraging work that God's called us to if we'll take hold of it.
Yes, sir.
If we'll accept it.
Amen.
He said, the Lord Jesus told us we can't be His disciple if we don't deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Him.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, the start of last year, I got angry, I got disappointed, I got in the flesh, and the Lord says, wait a minute. And the Lord finally showed me through His providence, it's not time to do that, son.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to settle down a little bit. I had to repent a little bit, and I found out I had to wait on the Lord. I was getting the cart before the buggy before the horse. And so we got to wait on the Lord. But He's called us to an encouraging work if we'll just accept it and pray. Amen. God answers every prayer. Sometimes He says no.
Right. That's right.
And we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. But that's okay if we'll pray without ceasing. Sometimes He says, just wait a while. And I praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And other times He says, yes. And we say, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God also is calling us tonight to an encouraging way. No matter what kind of pressure we're serving the Lord under, He said in verse 18, in everything give thanks. This is an encouraging way. I learned a long time ago, a little thank you goes a long ways. It works with our fellow men, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It works with the Lord. If we'll thank Him for whatever place we're at, He's going to take us to that better place we got our eye on. If we'll thank Him for what we've got, He's going to bless us with more. If we'll thank Him in a bad situation, He's going to make that bad situation glorious. Here we find the scope of thanksgiving. He says in everything. Boy, that's a big scope.
That is.
I hate buying tires for my car. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks for a flat tire or a bald tire. But hey, when I went and paid Bobby Rowland for him down there at Downtown Tire Pros, the Lord reminded me, hey, at least you got the money to pay for him. I said, hallelujah. God provided, didn't He? I didn't much like paying a big car insurance bill, but you know the Lord said, you got money in that billfold to pay for it? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God's provided. There's something to be thankful for everywhere.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting physical therapy on my knees now because 2 years ago I was trying to chase the children's dog down. And I hate dogs, by the way. I did till about a year ago. My daughter she prayed in a puppy to the house and got a puppy for Christmas. I don't know what I'd do without that puppy around. She's a pretty sweet little old dog. I was trying to chase the children's dog down, and I got on that muddy driveway, and I fell flat on my face, and I got up, cleaned myself off. I didn't think I hurt nothing, and I stepped off a step that was lower than I thought it was, and something in this knee give, and boy, I've had trouble with my knees ever since. But, you know, through physical therapy, the Lord fixed it. He fixed the right one. Then the left one wanked out on me. So I'm back at physical therapy. But you know it works. And I'm glad the Lord give doctors and physicians and therapists and people like that wisdom. The Lord showed me right quick, hey, it could have been a lot worse. You could have killed yourself on that driveway.
Uh-huh.
I know a fellow that just stepped off his child's trampoline and messed his right leg up. I never heard of such a thing. And he's got all kind of steel and rods and pins and that one leg. It just stepped off the wrong way and it messed him up. I don't understand why that happens, but the Lord said, in everything, give thanks.
Amen.
There's a season to thanksgiving. Let me get you in on a big secret. It's not just once a year.
Amen, brother.
If we'll cultivate a thankful heart, God will bless us and cause our cup to keep running over. God has a plan for each one of us. He says, for this is the will of God. That's the important part. If I take off on one of my own tangents, my old pastor down at Bat Cave years ago told us, he said, when you get your own idea, you're just now become the victim of stinking thinking. And it's costly. I heard Dr. Billy Graham preach on that message, that verse out of Proverbs more than any other. There is a way that seems right unto man, but it always ends in death and destruction and disappointment. If we'll just stick with God's plan, he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's the emphasis of God's grace and God's mercy over. When you see that name instead of Jesus Christ, when you see Jesus Christ, that's the Lord. But when you see Christ Jesus, that's the mercy and the grace emphasized over and over and over through Paul's letters. I had a helper and there at Arbor Terrace Rest Home, and he was an Anglican preacher. And boy, he loved the Lord, and he was writing a book on that doctrine called In Christ Jesus. He wrote a whole book about that phrase that Paul used over and over and over. But God's emphasizing his mercy and grace. He has a plan. He says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God, the Lord's not through with us. He has a will and a plan for every single one of us. If we'll accept it. There's an encouraging way. If we'll give thanks. I heard one of my buddies preach a few years ago on this verse at Thanksgiving time. He said, a lot of folks, instead of becoming humbly grateful, if we're not careful, we'll turn out grumbly hateful. And nothing's ever right. There's never enough. Nothing's ever right. Nothing's ever good enough. Hey, we better stop and give the Lord thanks. I can tell you story after story. I won't take the time to do that. My daddy grew up on Pinnacle Mountain. Happened to be during the Depression. And he told me about feeding possums for a couple of weeks and fattening them up on apples, and that was what they lived off of in the Depression. They'd kill a possum and cook it. I said, my word. Or whatever that they could catch or hunt or, some of my uncles, fortunately for them, thank God for them, they were skilled fishermen. They could go down to Boone Creek and catch some fish. Grandma would cook fish. Whatever they could live. Things could be a whole lot worse. We got, as the old hymn songwriter said a few years ago, God, I've got so much to thank Him for. How about you tonight? Are you rejoicing evermore? Have you got that encouraging word in your heart? Are you a hold of that encouraging work? Are you praying without ceasing? I tell you what, the last 4 or 5 years of my life has been so different. I had a lady tell me, she said, Brother Patrick, I don't think you ought to spend all that time just on the nursing homes. I think you ought to be out there helping everybody. Well, lo and behold, I just kind of blew that off. I've had to cart family members out of town that other family members wanted to kill them, and we had to take them up to Tennessee in the middle of the night to get them out of town safely. We don't live in Mayberry no more. I've prayed for all kinds of drug addicts. I had one man, I let him live with us for 2 weeks. And he promised he's going to go to his brother's rehab up north, the one that's back in rehab. He never went. But we tried everything we could to minister a witness to that man, pray for him and help him. I got one of my best friends is a drunk. He's just a drunk. We took him to Carolina Center in Greer, South Carolina. He got rehabbed. He's cleaned up, doing pretty good. He fell back on the same thing. Him and his brother's a pill head. They fight all the time. I cried my eyes out last week. I prayed with the man that they give him what was called a hot shot. He thought he was taking one drug, and they give him enough of something else to kill him, and it worked, and he died. And somehow he revived. I said, if you have ever known the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not going to take His hand off of you. You're not going to leave us. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment. You can't take yourself out of here. You're not going to leave here until God says so. The craziest story I ever heard, I heard about a man that tried to kill himself. He tried to hang himself and the rope broke. He tried a second time and the tree fell. Right beside, it didn't fall on him, it fell right beside him. He couldn't kill himself. He tried to get his wife to hit him with a car and a motor blade. He could not kill himself. He put a gun to his head to try to kill himself and pulled the trigger and the gun misfired and blew part of his hand off. Nobody's leaving. God has appointed time for people to die. No one is going to leave until God says so. Well, I'm thankful God has a prayer for every season. He don't want us to end like that. But this ministry, it's a broad scoped thing. And we had even today, people have asked me for help this past week. People, even today, somebody said, I need this and this. Can you please help us? And boy, the Lord's just spread this ministry wide open. God called me to do one thing. I'm going to focus on the care center ministry. God called me to be the missionary and the pastor. We'll take the first month of every quarter, we'll go take and do pastor visits, collect prayer requests. That's when some people get saved, when we're going room to room and taking them by the hands and saying, where are you at? How can we pray for you? In the other months, we take worship services. And they live to hear those worship services. I've had many of them tell me, well, at the other place they lived at, they never had no mention of God or Bible study or church or Sunday school or praying or nothing. And then they get, the Lord gives them some light, and the Lord gives them some help. I thank God. There's a prayer for every season. I hope you'll obey the Lord tonight, and just obey the Lord in whatever He's gifted you and called you to do. But I'm so thankful tonight the Lord has a prayer for every season. If we'll just be faithful, God's going to bless you. You may be in a difficult, it seems like an impossible place. If you're there, I'm glad to hear that. The old songwriter hit it on the head a few years ago. He said, God likes to work when nothing else will. Let's continue praying without